So today, if you haven't noticed, we're going to be using a special service. This is given to us by Eric Peterson, and Pastor Mark will tell a little bit more about that in just a little bit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I invite you to join with me in reading a portion of Psalm 130 and Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord, more than they watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all iniquities. A reading from Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. For these scripture selections, I just invite you to listen or follow along as I read them. If a man die, shall he live again? I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior Jesus the Christ. I appreciate old things. As a kid, I was fascinated by my grandfather's stories of what it was like to be a farmer on the prairies back in the late 40s and 50s. A time when trucks didn't have hoists and augers didn't exist, so you backed up to a grain bin and you used a shovel to unload what you'd taken from the field. As a pastor here at Trinity, I love to hear the stories of what it was like to worship in the former sanctuary, to see the old pictures, especially the one that hangs in the community center now of a Christmas Eve service where it is packed with people. If you come to my home, I might show you an old trunk filled with trinkets and treasures that I've collected over time. Truth be told, they would mean nothing to anyone else, but I hold them close. One, a hand-carved butter spoon that I purchased while I was in high school at an auction sale in Douglas. It's the story with the spoon that's amazing. It traveled from Iowa to Western North Dakota when a family came here to settle. In that trunk is an old Camel cigarette sign that has a menu board on it. It's from my grandmother's restaurant. I appreciate hearing stories of the way things used to be. Stories of threshing bees and years when grasshoppers would swarm and wipe out crops in a matter of hours. Stories about the hours spent in the kitchen by women who were baking bread again and again and again because that's what you did. What I know, though, through those stories is that the good old days weren't always so good. Maybe it's the love of these stories and my interest in the past that piqued my curiosity when Eric Peterson brought us this liturgy. It was after Eric's dad died. He was going through his father's things. He found his grandmother's Bible, and tucked into that Bible was this liturgy, which if you look at the note on the back page on the very bottom in italics says it was meant to be used when Germany surrendered at the end of World War II or when Japan surrendered at the end of World War II. That's all we know about the liturgy. We don't know who wrote it. We have no idea how long before the service was put together that it was sent out to congregations? We have no idea how many congregations engaged in this liturgy of celebration. Lots of questions, not many answers, though. World War II came and it ended, and since its ending, unfortunately, other wars have come and gone. We gather today, this Veterans Weekend, thankful for those who have served, remembering those who still suffer, and pondering this day how this old liturgy from the past might speak to us in the midst of this service. Where I would begin is where we should always begin, with God. This liturgy from the beginning to the very end keeps itself centered not on celebration, not on human achievement, but on God. Mindful that at the center of our lives is the one who created us all, that getting through any difficult time in life happens because God is with us. The liturgy begins with the reading of Psalm 46. Hear the first line of that psalm again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Those words, familiar to many of us, are a solid confession of faith, staking claim on trust in God who does not, who will not, abandon or disappoint. The psalmist points to tumultuous times, shaking mountains and roaring seas, but confidently confesses that God is to be trusted even in the midst of those. Your world might feel a bit out of control from time to time, maybe even at this moment. Chaos comes in the midst of our lives through medical diagnoses, through mental health crises, through chronic conditions which push us to the brink. Yet the psalmist invites us to come back to the center, to God alone, who promises to be with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. As such, the psalmist confesses in the last verse of the psalm, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." I'm also pushed to remember that victory for the Allies in World War II meant defeat for the people of Germany. The God we worship is the same God whom Christians in Germany worshiped. I'm pushed to remember this because when it comes to politics and war, we need to be careful of not claiming more than we know about where God stands in the midst of such conflicts. Maybe even in the midst of all conflicts. I'm reminded of a documentary that a group of us here at the church engaged about the life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German Lutheran theologian who in the midst of World War II was involved in a plot to assassinate Hitler. Obviously, the plot failed. Bonhoeffer ended up in prison. The documentary talked about conditions following World War I, which led to Hitler's rise. Many German men, especially younger men, left the church following World War I in Germany because leading up to the war, the church boldly proclaimed that there was no doubt that God was on Germany's side. After the devastation of the war to end all wars, such comments led to disillusionment. Which brings us to another piece that is in this liturgy, incredible humility. It's not a celebration of victory, but a thanksgiving to God. And I believe that there is a difference. The celebration of victory you may have in your mind from newsreels that you might have seen following World War II, ticker tape parades in New York City, and the like. But that's not the tone that this liturgy strikes. It speaks a tone of trust in God and God alone. The people who would have been sitting in the pews as this liturgy was first celebrated were still living through difficult times. Sons and some daughters had left for the armed services. Some of them had come back wounded, and some never returned. Some were still half a world away, and their families, probably thankful for the end of the war, were also probably still worrying. I can imagine being a parent sitting in a church in the midst of this liturgy whose child was still in the service half a world away and half of your heart wanting to thank God and celebrate and the other half heavy with worry about what is going on with your child and will they get back and when will they get back. Humility reminds us God has a hold on us. At times it feels like humility is in short supply these days. Humility is a stance which says, this is what I believe, but I could be wrong. A stance that invites conversation with the possibility that my mind might be changed. A stance where I might put myself in the other person's shoes to try to understand where they're at, what they're thinking. Meanwhile, back to the liturgy. A liturgy commemorating the ending of a war invites all participants into a time of confession. That surprised me. To find how much language in this liturgy speaks about confession before God. Hear part of those words again. God of our fathers, in this day when our nation rejoices and exults in a great victory, we bow before thee in grateful humility. Unworthy are we of the least of thy mercies, for we have sinned, and our fathers before us. Forgive us, O God. And turn our hearts from selfishness, greed, pride, and willful lawlessness. The truth is that even in the face of such a powerful victory, there is a need for confession. We as Lutherans often confess the fact that we sin in what we do and in what we have left undone. There are horrors of war. People die. There are also horrors which can happen when we don't take a stand, even a military stand, because sometimes that leads to genocide. And then throw into the mix that there is a commandment that thou shalt not kill. As I've been thinking about this liturgy, I feel a word or a sense of stronger responsibility upon myself. It seems to me it's not only the one who pulls the trigger or fires the battle guns or drops the bombs who take a life. It is an entire country who sent those to war, the entire country who bear the responsibility of the consequences. So confession is appropriate for all of us. Bring this concept to the current moment in history. I would guess that most of you have seen the pictures from Israel and the Gaza Strip. It is a fact that Hamas soldiers brutally murdered innocent civilians and have taken some hostage, including children, the aged, and some who are disabled. That's reprehensible. On the other hand, it's also a fact that Palestinian children are now being killed by the Israeli bombardment. In the midst of the complexity, we cry out to God for wisdom, to see all as human, all as beloved of the Creator. All of this points to another fact. We are called to be informed citizens whose faith informs what we stand for and how we speak. We are called to be vocal in the public square about justice and caring for our neighbors. Scripture is clear. God judges those who do not stand up for their neighbor, especially the neighbor who is the least of these. When we don't, we're called to confess the things we've done and the things that we've left undone. We gather this day around this 80-year-old liturgy, thankful for veterans who have served, who continue to live with the things that they've seen or heard. We are thankful this day, and at the same time, we continue to keep our eyes firmly focused on God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one in the midst of all of our own chaos who gives us hope. We come this day humbly confessing our brokenness and the things that we've done and left undone. We come this day seeking that the God of life would be with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.